You're listening to the Texas Standard.
I had to rub my eyes and blink a few times to make sure I could believe what I was reading last night. It was a news story about California Governor Jerry Brown deploying about 400 National Guard troops at President Trump's request. But unlike here in Texas, where Republican Governor Greg Abbott was quick to comply with Trump's plan to provide more support for the Border Patrol, California's Democratic governor claims to have different plans for the troops. No immigration enforcement, he is assuring Californians. Closer to home, about 250 Texas National Guard troops have already deployed to the Texas-Mexico line. Texas's governor says he'll eventually send more than 1,000. But even here, where the state's leadership is supportive of any appearance to be cracking down on illegal immigration, are they really doing immigration enforcement? Well, perhaps that depends on how you define enforcement. Manny Fernandez is the Houston bureau chief for the New York Times. He's spent some time shadowing Texas National Guard troops in South Texas. Manny, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You have a new piece in the New York Times talking about your experiences with the Texas National Guard on the border. What did you see them actually doing? Were they directly involved in immigration enforcement?
Definitely not. From what I saw, and I spent about 5 hours with them, I saw them standing around and doing a lot of watching. That's essentially the main takeaway that I had from it is they were sort of basically at sentry posts. We went to two what they call OPs, and the OPs are observation posts. And these observation posts were essentially a Humvee that was parked and a bunch of troops standing around that vehicle, looking at the brush and looking at the river. They were right on the river's edge. They literally, I didn't see them sit down. I didn't, you know, they would look at one point and then they would turn around, take a few steps and look at a different point. And that's really all they were doing.
How did they come into play here then? I mean, the president has said he wants to send more troops down to the border to deal with a surge in illegal immigration. What do these observers do? Are they supposed to be conspicuous and perhaps convince would-be smugglers or border crossers to think again?
Yes, sort of. They're supposed to be out in the open on the actual border. They want people to see them. They want, if you were standing on the Mexican side, you would see them. You would see the Humvee. You would see the troops there that have their rifles with them, and they're dressing, you know, sort of combat fatigues. They make an imposing sort of visual sight, and they want that. You know, what they tell me is that what they want to do is be that sort of visual deterrent and then free up the Border Patrol agents to do what they would normally be doing and to do what they would be typically doing.
While you were there, you described that during one of these observation missions, I guess, they did spot a raft coming across. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, there was active coordination between Border Patrol and the National Guard. So at one observation post, there were some soldiers who were looking through their binoculars, and a Border Patrol agent walked up, and the Border Patrol agent and the soldier talked together about something that was seen down below, way down below in the brush. I was told that those soldiers there spotted a raft and that they radioed it in. That's what they say they do. They never respond. And from what I saw of these observation posts, they weren't really set up to respond. They're not set up to sort of move from those observation posts. The Humvees had these blocks behind the wheel, in the back of the wheels. So those Humvees are parked there.
Stationary.
There for good.
Yeah.
They're not driving down and sort of talking to the immigrants as they come across. They're not really set up for that. You can tell that they are set up to sort of to be like a little bit of a watchtower, so to speak.
Yeah. So standing out clearly along the border, but also in those towns along the border, blending in?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what I saw. And that's one of the things that was surprising for me in this embed I did. You know, we did a lot of traveling to these observation posts, and we did a lot of driving. We were in rental cars. We were in Ford 4x4 pickup trucks and a minivan. And the minivan was like a government minivan. It was a minivan with government plates, mm-hmm. but the pickup trucks were rental cars. They looked like ordinary Ford 4x4s that you'd see anywhere on a Texas highway. And the troops were inside of there. And basically the for the state mobilization, that's a lot of what happened. They used rental cars. In part, they said to limit the wear and tear on the actual military vehicles. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also that they want to blend in. They don't want everyone in town turning around to look at, you know, four Humvees yeah. that are driving down the street. They do it as like a, they're worried about the PR aspect of this. You know, they want to blend in. They want to have a low key presence, and just being in these rental cars, it was just you know, that was an interesting part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it sounds a little surreal. I mean, you describe in at one point a school bus pulling out, and they didn't realize that they were interrupting a military convoy because they were so on the down low in these rental cars.
Absolutely. Most of these kids just thought that we were just sitting in regular cars. And it was only the kids that actually walked by these vehicles that they could see that there were, you know, guys in camouflage inside, that those they looked in a little bit.
You would never
notice it. And in a way it helps. I think that move has helped them stay on the border in Texas for so long as part of the state mobilization, because you can't complain about something you don't see.
Help me then. I was trying to square what California's governor was saying about his, you know, troop deployment and what Governor Abbott's saying about his. Maybe they're both right. You know, when Governor Brown says these troops won't be engaged in immigration enforcement, that's technically true. But on the other hand, Governor Abbott says that they will be involved in immigration enforcement. He may mean through coordination, perhaps.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely fair to say that the orders from up on high, the actual, you know, Defense Department memos and the orders that the soldiers on the ground have, the orders are definitely, you know, do not engage with migrants, do not do law enforcement, and that was what I saw down on the ground. Now, you know, is that coordination, you know, does it qualify as some sort of enforcement? I guess that's probably part of the debate.
Manny Fernandez is Houston bureau chief of the New York Times. He's been shadowing Texas National Guard troops on the border in Starr County. We're going to have a link to his piece at texasstandard.org. It's definitely worth reading. Manny, thanks again.
Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
As National Guard troops deploy to points south, dozens of southwestern border sheriffs gathered not far from the Texas state line for their annual spring meeting. They met from just across another border, the one with New Mexico, talking a lot about the troop deployment and that border wall. And as Mallory Falk reports now from Las Cruces, there's debate among the sheriffs over whether the national conversation about the border actually matches the reality on the ground.
Roy Boyd is chief deputy at the Victoria County Sheriff's Office. When he heard the president was sending National Guard troops to the border, he didn't have a strong reaction.
If you're not from down here, then yes, it may seem like a big deal. But when you know the history and your family's been down here a long time, you've seen it and it's all a repeat.
Boyd says his great-great-grandfather was a Texas Ranger.
He had a lot of interaction with the New Jersey National Guard on the border in Brownsville in 1917.
Lots of Texans along the border have had those interactions, for better or worse. Danny Dominguez is the Presidio County Sheriff in the Big Bend region. He says if troops show up,
it'll trigger a lot of emotions. What happened back in 1997.
That's when a Presidio County 18-year-old was shot and killed by Marines during a drug surveillance mission. Dominguez himself is open to the troops. He says his county's geographically spread out and understaffed and could use the extra help. But he's not so sure about the border wall.
In my area, it's mostly mountains and canyons, and it's a natural-made wall. So it really is just a waste of money there.
On Wednesday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions addressed the group.
The lack of the wall on the southern border is an open invitation to illegal crossings. The failure of Congress to move on the wall is sending a message, I'm afraid, that we are not resolute.
But Sessions focused much of his speech on what he calls loopholes in the law and said he'd bring law and order back into the immigration system. Pete Conticelli's a law enforcement coordinator in New Mexico. He says the country needs a multi-pronged approach.
I don't think there's any one fix for what's going on in the United States right now across the four border states. You can't just say we're just going to put up a wall and that's going to help law enforcement and help the security of our country.
You have to talk to the locals, he says. They know their areas best. For the Texas Standard, I'm Mallory Falk in Las Cruces.